It does feel a little bit different being. All right, what can I not answer this morning?
Start with the Redskins last year. What is it about their offense that made them difficult to deal with?
Well, I think the first game we particularly struggled with stopping the run and big plays. Second game, we did a much better job in the run game. We still gave up a couple big plays, two big plays that I can remember. One, DeSean Jackson beat us for a big play, and another one, I think Crowder got us down the seam late in the game that put him in that situation. So, you know, it always comes down to the same things. Stop the run, no big plays. You know, a couple guys gave us some trouble last year, particularly Pierre Garçon made some key catches in both games. I'm not sorry to see him gone. You know, DeSean the same way. You know, they've replaced those guys and moved up roster or moved up draft picks and things like that. But, you know, I think that I'm not going to be disappointed not to see those guys on the field.
Hey, Jim, how would you rate Kirk Cousins as quarterback?
Yeah, you know, it's about winning. He threw for almost 5,000 yards last year, threw twice as many touchdowns as interceptions. You know, quarterbacks like coaches are ultimately judged on wins. So I think you know, just in this small microcosm, he was 2-0 against us. So that certainly has our respect.
Yes,
he also, I think, he also made a couple big plays with his feet in both of those games, and he's sort of sneaky that way. I think if you ask around the league, you wouldn't put him up there with some of the classic scrambling quarterbacks. But that's also something we're going to have to be on guard for, because he did make a couple key first downs with his feet in those games.
There's so many new pieces in the secondary. How do you think the process has gone to kind of turn it into a unit from a bunch of new guys from the start of OTAs till now?
Yeah, you know, I like where we are. I mean, I think I've told you before, I think that Jalen Mills is one of the most improved players on our team, has really settled into the outside corner spot, played the deep ball very well. You know, he's that quintessential take a big jump the second year guy. At least he has been so far. I mean, we're judging training camp and preseason games. Obviously, the proof is in the pudding over the course of a season. You know, adding some veteran guys in like Patrick Robinson and Corey Graham. Both of those guys have some multidimensional skills, can play inside, can play outside. You know, Corey gives us a lot of confidence to be able to move Malcolm down to nickel at times. You know, I like there's a lot of different ways we can play. We'll probably have six different personnel packages that we can play in this game, which is a little bit more than we carried last year. And I think a lot of it has to do with some of the flexibility the guys have in the secondary.
At defensive end, the starters took 70-75% of the snaps last year. With more depth there this year, do you expect a more balanced rotation?
I would hope so. I mean, over the course of my career, whether it's been Tennessee or Detroit, we've always been a rotational group, and I think we've always been at our best when we've been close to 50-50. You know, keep guys fresh keep throwing fastballs out of the bullpen. But, you know, that being said, over the course of the season, you also have to reward production. And but the way I sort of approach it is particularly early in the season, rotation can help you get to later in the season. You know, and hopefully that's where we are late in the season, with meaningful games in December and January and maybe even February. And there's a lot of different layers to rotation. One of those is that it can keep guys durable and keep guys available for a long period of time. Boy, I think that's one of the things you saw last year. We had an injury at defensive tackle in the Redskins game, first time. But we stayed pretty healthy at defensive end, and a lot of it had to do with our rotation. The key is trying to get the production, whoever it is out there, if whoever's playing left defensive end, what's the production of that? My experience has been, if you get two guys that can stay fresh, you can have more production than one guy that's out there the whole time, sort of, you know, addition.
Go ahead. With Derek Barnett, he's clearly shown that he can play at this level, perhaps even at a high level.
Yeah.
Are you typically one to hold back on young guys like that because you don't know how they're going to look come November and December? Or do you feel like you just got to kind of feed those guys because you don't want to set them back in terms of their confidence, early confidence?
I don't worry about his confidence. I mean, he's a first-round draft pick. You know, when you got to stand up on that stage and hold a number one jersey, you know, you've already if you're lacking for confidence, you're probably the wrong guy. Went against JP all the time in training camp. That's some baptism by fire too. You know, we threw him out there a bunch, and you know, you guys widely reported him against Lane Johnson at times. You know, I don't worry about his psyche, but there is, you know, I probably don't want to say in the back of our mind, but you know, over the course of the season, we do want to try to keep him fresh and keep him on the field, and I think that you know, that's an important goal of ours as well as being productive. But I'll say this. I mean, if we got to play 150 snaps in this game, and we got 11 guys that got to play 150 to win this game, I'm done. You know, I mean, we'll sell our soul to win a game. So you have to balance both of those out for sure. And, you know, I think that the positives there is we've seen good production out of Derek in the run and pass game. And I think as a whole, our defensive line has been very productive. And I think a lot of that has to do with additions of those guys, you know, like, you know, Fletch was very productive, and some of it has to do with, you know, having a guy like Jernigan in there and him getting more one-on-ones and, you know, Derek getting some one-on-ones maybe because of Brandon Graham and all that. I think Vinny Curry also had an outstanding training camp. He was very good against the run and pass. He was as productive as I've seen him. He was not on the ground as much as he's been. I think he's a much improved player. I mentioned Jalen Mills. I think Vinny's shown it. But again, proof is in the course of the season.
With those four ends, though, did you kind of view it as almost like two lines? Do you want to kind of keep them
together? Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, I don't have as much hockey. Skipjacks. EHL. We used to go just to drink beer and watch the fights. I think that's all anybody goes to the EHL for. But I do think there is some shift change in there. And I mean, hockey is that sport. I mean, nobody can play. I mean, Wayne Gretzky couldn't be out there every single time. I mean, it's just impossible to play that way. So they do have to shift, and you do need to rely on other guys. Well, you mentioned four defensive ends. I'll take that further with five. I think Stephen Means is a quality player. Whether he's active or not on a weekly basis, I know this much. He'll be ready for when his opportunity comes. Maybe it'll be because of an injury. Maybe it'll be because somebody's not producing as much as they should. But I think Stephen Means is also a quality guy. I like a five-man group up there. Did I answer the question? Or here, cut you off.
Yeah, you like to keep them together. I mean, does it matter having...
No, I think that, it's hard to keep them together because everybody comes from a different spot. Like, it's not just four new defensive linemen. There are times where we do that, particularly in the middle of a series. But over the course of the game, you got to play with a lot of different combinations and even some potential rush situations. You know, not every team will allow you to sub guys on a situational basis, but you know, sometimes you can, and to be able to get third down rushers out there. It's not as prevalent as it used to be in the NFL, but you know, there could be some opportunities to work some rush groups out there also.
Jim, what are you saying out of Vinny Curry this year, and what do you need out of him?
Well, just the same as everybody. We need consistent play. We got to be good against the run and the pass. I think, and consistency has to do with a lot of things. Being able to do your job, being able to execute the scheme, being available to play. But again, very encouraged by where Vinny's gone. I don't know if you guys notice it, but it's been well noticed within our team, on our coaching staff. The strides that he's taken. But, again, none of that matters right now. I mean, talk about, you know, new guys we've added, talk about, you know, Darby or Jernigan or, you know, improved players like Jalen or Vinny. None of that matters. If they don't produce them, we don't win games. So we know we have to keep our eye on that.
How do you think of Darby? Is he at the point now where he's been here long enough that you can do everything with him?
We don't hold anything back. Maybe the first week, like when we played Buffalo, there were some things that we sort of held back and some communication that the safeties were a little bit hesitant to give him. He's unencumbered when it comes to scheme.
Jim, Howie was saying the other day that
safeties with corner background are part of the prototype that you give those guys as far as what to look for when they're scouting safeties. You've got four of them on your team right now with that background. Has that always been the case with you, or has the increase in tempo by teams made it more imperative?
I don't think it's increased tempo. For me, it's more wide receiver, tight ends, you know, the college guy. And, you know, you've seen it. Washington's got Jordan Reed. There's a bunch of those guys around the league, whether it's Jimmy Graham or, you know, whoever it is. They all line them up at wide receiver, and you have to be able to have that ability to cover. Being able to blitz, you know, a lot of times your safeties have to cover. Almost every offense probably 60 to 70% of our snaps this year will be against three wide receiver sets. So anytime you're blitzing, that guy's not now just covering a fullback or a tight end. He's covering a skilled player. He's covering a wide receiver. And it gives you some flexibility to be able to handle those things. You know, I go back. I mean, I've been around a while. You know, when safeties were named, Thumper. And, I had a guy in Tennessee. First name was Tank. You know, and I joked. And Tank was a hell of a player. Tank Williams out of Stanford. But Tank was 235-pound. Safety. You know, we saw a lot of two-back sets. You know, he was sort of an extra linebacker in there, even though he was fast. You know, I don't need guys named, Hammer and Tank. I need guys named Swifty and Ball Hawk and, the Glove. You know, those are nicknames we're looking for more now.
Derek Barnett, did he progress or adapt faster than you thought, like, over the course of the offseason?
No, I think we expected that from him. I think a lot was made with him being a bit of a one-trick pony. He was an edge speed rush guy in college, and he had such the ability to do that I think he got labeled a guy that's all he could do. And I think we saw more in him than that. You know, he's, like I said, he's played tough against the run. He's been instinctive. He's been productive when he's been out there. We can only judge him on that. But we haven't been surprised by that about him. I don't know the best way to put that. But
Jim, you elevated this defense to a top 15 defense last year. Now, with what appears to be on paper, better collection of players, better depth of positions, is it possible you feel even more weight, more pressure on your shoulders this season?
Well, there's always pressure. I mean, that goes along with this job. If you don't accept pressure, you're in the wrong business. Please don't put on my resume that I elevated this to a top 15. I mean, I don't know that's a participation trophy in my mind. I don't want to split hairs or whatever. The stat that we care about the most is points allowed. I think we were 12th in there. That's still not as good as we can be. And I do agree with you. On paper we're better. We have added not only depth, but we've added some key components to the defense. It's our job as coaches, our job as players, to be productive. You know, I mean, this press conference doesn't matter. We can say all the right things. We can, have the greatest plans. It's we have to execute it, and the proof is in the pudding, and it's our job to do that over the course of a year. We're going to have good games. We're going to have bad games. When the season's over, we have to give us our offense or our team consistently a chance to win the game. And the best way we can do that is points allowed. There's two things. First is don't allow very many points, and number two is set the offense up to score. That's one thing we were very good at last year. Where were we in turnovers, takeaways? We were better than we set the offense up, because it's one thing to say, yeah, we didn't give up very many points, but if the offense was on the long field the whole game, maybe you could have done a little bit more. So I think when it's all said and done, after 16 weeks or after 17 weeks plus, hopefully more, I think if we can say that we minimized points allowed and we also gave our offense a chance, I think then we'll have been successful. And any other ranking really doesn't matter to us.
You mentioned